Well, the U.S. says it sees the announcement to test a nuclear weapon as a provocation, is the word they used. The Americans are beginning to put the pressure on North Korea through China. And in fact, Secretary Rice has had meetings over the last couple of days with various and sundry diplomats trying to urge China to urge Pyongyang not to do this. At a think tank, the special envoy for North Korea from the United States, Mr. Christopher Hill, spoke about the crisis and said that the answer is for the North Koreans to go back to the six-party talks and honor the agreement that they signed back in September, which offered a package of incentives from the United States if North Korea would stop developing nuclear weapons.
We've called on the DPRK to desist from these threats, to return to the talks without preconditions, to honor the commitments that it made in the September 19th statement, because we have told them on many occasions, we've told them publicly, we've told them privately, that we will implement all of our undertakings right down to the every sentence in the agreement.
Well, wasn't the North Korean announcement attributed directly towards various threats by the United States and in response to their feelings of insecurity?
They're constantly fearful of an invasion by the U.S., but the Bush administration says repeatedly it has no plans to do that, although it has stationed a portion of its military in the Pacific Ocean near the Korean coast. This is an ongoing, of course, crisis. Months and months and months of talks have gotten nowhere. At the United Nations, the UN Security Council had a meeting on this subject and is expected to prepare and issue a condemnatory statement. U.S. Ambassador John Bolton spoke after the meeting, as did Kenjo Oshima, who's the Japanese U.N. ambassador and now the temporary president of the Security Council.
There was a very strong concern expressed by the intention to conduct a nuclear test. And everybody who spoke against, of course, a nuclear test of that country, and strongly urged North Korea to desist from it.
Other than hard words against North Korea over testing, what's going to happen going forward? What else does the United Nations have up its sleeve to slow down or stop any sort of testing of these weapons?
Well, the UN doesn't really have a lot of options, and neither does the Bush administration. But, you know, the North Koreans are so isolated diplomatically and in other aspects. Financial transactions that they try to conduct through international banks are oftentimes blocked because of action by the United States and the UN. There's only so many sanctions left that one can impose. So the answer to your question, I think, is very little.
What can the Chinese bring to bear?
Well, the Chinese have a lot of influence with Pyongyang. They have managed to shepherd the six-party talks for quite some time, although, of course, they have broken off. The Chinese are a regional power, and the Chinese have the leverage to perhaps convince Pyongyang that conducting a nuclear test would be not worth the negative reverberations around the world.
Speaking of other partnerships, Bob Woodward's book, State of Denial, seems to be having continuing repercussions for the Bush presidency, including how U.S. intelligence allegedly held back vital information from its so-called war on terror partners.
Well, you know, Adam, I recall a couple years ago when President Bush referred to Australia as the deputy sheriff for the United States in the war on terror in the region. And it appears, though, that if Woodward's book is correct, that the sheriff was left out of the loop when it came to critical intelligence from the feuding U.S. intelligence agencies regarding the war on terror and other matters. The Brits were also apparently left out of the loop. This is quite embarrassing for the Bush administration, simply because both the British and, of course, the Australians are America's key allies in this war against terror. Part of the book has not been confirmed by the Bush administration, and there are other parts that the Bush administration has denied actually took place.
The Republican leadership is being grilled over whether or not it knew about allegations of Congressman Mark Foley's explicit advances to underage interns.
Yeah, this scandal is having more than just an impact as far as a shock value because of a congressman who was on a committee that was supposedly protecting exploited children and turns out to be a pedophile himself, and emailed young high school pages who frequent Congress as part of an internship program. And so he, of course, resigned in disgrace, claims now that it was alcoholism that caused him to be a pedophile. People are just shaking their heads. The White House says it's disgusted. In addition, now the question is, did the Republican leadership sit on the information about the salacious emails that Mr. Foley sent to young male pages in order to protect his Republican seat in Florida? At the White House, the spokesman, Tony Snow, was just shaking his head and saying, look, we've just got to find out what the facts are first.
This is an awful and disturbing story. We need to find out what it is that people knew. The question is, what exactly did they have? And the speaker has turned over emails and documents to the Justice Department, which they are reviewing. And if there are legal steps, one presumes that the proper and duly constituted legal authorities will follow through on them.
And Laura Bush has unexpectedly been deployed to help the Republicans following Congressman Foley's issue.
Well, Adam, the midterm elections in which the pollsters say the Democrats might recapture control of the House of Representatives and may even recapture control of the U.S. Senate because of voter discontent with the Bush policies, that election is now only 4 weeks off. The Republicans are quite frankly worried that they're going to lose control of the Congress. And so even Mrs. Bush was sent out on the hustings to campaign for the Republicans. She was in New York, Western New York, campaigning on behalf of Congressman Tom Reynolds, who's a Republican whose seat is in jeopardy because Mr. Reynolds may be somehow swept up into the Foley scandal because he apparently or allegedly did not inform Republican leadership that he knew information that this man was attempting to solicit young men.
America faces challenges too important to be reduced to just politics. Ending our dependence on foreign oil, reforming our immigration system, rebuilding the Gulf Coast, and keeping our country safe from terrorism are not easy tasks, but they're absolutely vital goals. To accomplish them, we must have serious national conversations conducted with civility and respect.
Mrs. Bush laid out an agenda. She's campaigning for her husband. It shows, I think, that the Republicans are close to desperate now that they have to send out the president's wife to campaign to raise money for Republican candidates.